Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
One of the great secrets to living the successful Christian life is that you not strive at it alone. God intends for you to strive together with Him and with your church family and other Christian friends. Next on Daily in the Word, stay tuned for a brand new series, Striving Together. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. This past summer, we celebrated our 25th anniversary of ministry at Lancaster Baptist Church, and in commemoration of that event, Dr. Chapel preached a sermon series entitled Striving Together. In that series, he challenged us once again to continue living the successful and fruitful Christian life by striving together with the Lord and with each other. And we hope that this series will be a great encouragement and blessing to your heart as you discover once again that striving together is what the Christian life is all about. Before we hear today's message, I do want to remind you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. That's one of our ways of striving together with you and trying to encourage your spiritual growth. You'll find lots of resources and information about this ministry as well. All of it at dailyintheword.org. Today we're turning to James chapter 1 verses 1 through 8 as we study striving together through difficulty. Here's Paul Chapel.
You know, I've been in a few private aircraft that have this thing of cruise control. And I've seen when a pilot will set it on cruise control and he'll say, man, Pastor, from here on out, all we got to do is just kind of fellowship. This plane's going to go right where it needs to go. I'll take the control right back at the very end. But we are on cruise control. And when you're on cruise control, you don't think about a lot of other stuff. It's on cruise control. But when turbulence comes, you start thinking about lots of stuff. They start talking to the pilot up ahead and the next aircraft. They start checking all of the various dashboard signals. They start doing everything they were taught in their flight school. They want to handle that turbulence properly because if not, it'll flip them right upside and down. The fact of the matter is, when we're on cruise control and the boss is friendly, the wife is friendly, everybody's friendly, everything's fine, we forget how much we need God. But when those trials come, we have to let God have His way. We have to come to a place of letting patience have her complete work. And so we have to surrender. You say, what do I do tomorrow about my trial? Let patience have her perfect work. Now that word there in verse number 3, perfect, that means complete. Complete. I learned years ago, and this is some deep theology, but bear with me. I learned years ago that a washing machine has at least 3 cycles. It has the cycle of wash, it has the cycle of soak, it has the cycle of spin. And I learned as a Bible college student, the first time I ever did laundry in my entire life, that you really need to let it go through all the cycles. And I remember pulling it out during the second cycle thinking, I don't have time for this nonsense. It smells clean to me. I threw it in the dryer. I dried those clothes. When I pulled them out, they were filled with all kinds of soap and detergent and everything. Why? Because I had not let it go through the entire cycle. Now, you show me a guy that jumps out of his job in anger, jumps out of a relationship in anger, someone that just gets ticked and makes their decision, and guess what? They're probably going to have to go right back into the machine and right back through the cycles again. So the Bible says, let patience have its perfect work. so that you can be made perfect or mature. And this is the will of God, that we would surrender to Him. The process then is a process of surrender. It's a process of saying, Lord, I surrender my life, my will to you. Surrender your past this morning. You say, well, my husband in 2008 did this. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. You see, the Bible says in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Surrender your past. Listen, my friend, don't ruin your future by living in your past. And you've got to give it to the Lord. Surrender your present and simply say this, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I'm not as spiritual as some, so what I have to do, I have to remind myself of this stuff all the time. And the way I do that is I put little scriptures in frames around my office and around my house. I'll have one of my daughters sometimes calligraphy, maybe a verse for me. And one of the verses that's in my office is that verse. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because when difficulty comes, I forget to rejoice. So I have to put a sign just like stop, go. I have to put a sign that says rejoice. And I have to say, Lord, I want to let you have your way in my yesterdays, in my todays, and in my tomorrows. I want to let you have your perfect work in my life, you see. Surrender your future to Him. So important. And I want you to see the quote that's given to us by Philip Ryken here in this particular area. He says, every temptation is a kind of test, but not every test is a temptation. Tests and temptations have different purposes, and they come from different places. Tests are designed to show what someone can do. Their purpose is positive, which explains why God Himself tests people like He did with Abraham. A test is a trial posed by God to prove the strength of our faith. Temptations, on the other hand, are more negative. Their explicit purpose is to entice people to sin, which is why they come from the evil one. A temptation is a trial posed by Satan with the wicked hope that we will fail. Look at verse 13 of James 1. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. You see, that is a temptation such as lust. That is a temptation such as unfaithfulness or sin involvement. But what we're learning more about today is the trial or the testing or the proving of where our faith really stands. And if you're going to get through it, the process begins with surrendering. Let patience have her perfect work. You can jump out of that cycle number two if you want, but I recommend that you stay with God through it all and that you say, Lord, even as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. How many people have gone from job to job to job and marriage to marriage and marriage and school to school to school and this to that, all because they would not wait on God, who would have delivered them through a difficult time in their life. There is a process of surrender. And as you go through the process, you are stronger. There is, secondly, a process of maturity. Now, maturity does not happen overnight. How many of you would say that you have noticed with your teenagers, maturity does not happen overnight, right? And as our kids are married now and grown, and sometimes I tell you what, I just step back and I go, it is amazing how God has done such a better job in some areas than I did. My son called me the other day from San Diego area, Matthew. He's a youth director down in Oceanside there. And he goes, Dad, he goes, I'm counseling a teenager. He wants to get a tattoo. I need some scriptures to teach him that's a sin and why we don't mark our body as Christians. And he said, I got another teenager who has this problem with his parents. And another teenager had this, and he was wanting some scripture and some counsel. And you know, isn't it a blessing to see someone mature and helping other people in their life? But I want you to know that that type of maturity doesn't just come because you put them in Christian school for 6 months. It doesn't come just because you had devotions twice. But maturity in our lives, it takes time for all of us. And notice what it says there in verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. That means complete, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So if you're going to grow up spiritually, it's going to take some time. You know, a medical doctor goes to medical school after his bachelor's degree for another 4 or 6 years. They're going to put 8 or 10 years of schooling before they take that first prescription and give it to you. And God says, I want you to be patient in this time that you may be perfect. It's going to require growing in grace, you see. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace who hath called us according to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, notice this, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now look at that in your notes and read it with me. 1 Peter 5:10. Ready, begin. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You say, well, I ought to be perfect pretty quick. I've been suffering a while, right? But the Bible says, look, there's a purpose in that suffering, that you would be mature, established, and strengthened. The devil wants to ruin your marriage, but Jesus wants to settle your marriage. The devil wants to ruin your testimony, but God wants to settle your testimony. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, I don't think very many of us can say, I take pleasure in my infirmities. I don't know, most of us aren't there yet. Most of us have not come to the place of saying, I love it when my family has trouble. I'm just so thankful when I get a demotion at work. Praise the Lord, someone just reared me in the car. You know, no one says those types of things. But did you know the Apostle Paul, he had this one goal. Here was his goal, that I may know him. Would you say that with me? That I may. Paul wanted to know God so much that when the trouble started, he oftentimes would say, praise the Lord, I'm going to get to know God now. Now, I'm not there yet. You're probably not there yet either. But you see, when Paul the Apostle says, therefore I take pleasures in my infirmities, in my reproaches, you're hearing from a very mature Christian right there. Someone who said, God's about to teach me something I didn't know before. God's about to help me in a great and wonderful way. So the biblical process involves surrendering to the Lord and maturing in the Lord through this particular trial, letting God, hey, it doesn't matter if you're 75 years old, you can still learn more about God and His grace, right? Maturing. So the heavenly purpose for difficulty, what is God's purpose? God's purpose is that I might mature and grow in His likeness. The process is my yieldedness to Him and letting God have His way. And when He's shaking and the trials are coming, just saying, Lord, You must want to use me in a greater way in the days ahead. And then notice thirdly and finally this morning, there is a revealed product through difficulty. There is a product that God wants to reveal in us through the times of difficulty. And I want you to see what that product is. Look at verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Now, we are more apt to gain real wisdom through the trials than through the good times. You know, a lot of people don't pray like they should until a trial comes. A lot of times we don't really listen to preaching until we're having some difficulty in our life. So what are the products that come into someone's life when difficult days happen? Letter A, we're going to ask God for wisdom. We're going to ask God for wisdom. Boy, one minute you're on autopilot, just kind of cruising along, everything's great. Next minute you're bouncing up and down. I remember years ago flying over the Tehachapis with one of the men in our church, and we were just having a great time lifting up over Rosamond there, and all of the sudden the wind came, and it was just kind of circulating over the Tehachapis, and that little plane started bouncing from one side and flipping to one side. I hit my head on the roof of that little Cessna. I mean, we were getting bounced around. And you know what the pilot started doing? He started calling into the tower, hey, what's going on? And calling other aircraft, how's it over there? He was looking at everything on the dashboard and trying to get as much wisdom as he could. And did you know that sometimes God will bring trials into our lives so that we will seek Him? Psalm 111 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. You see, Charles Spurgeon said, the doorstep to the temple of wisdom is a knowledge of our own ignorance. The doorstep to the temple of wisdom is the knowledge of our own ignorance. The problem with some of us this morning is we think we got it all down pat. We know what we want. We know what we're doing in this life. Ain't no one going to tell me what to do because I'm bad. No, you're stupid. And all it's going to take is getting fired, getting your girlfriend pregnant, or some other tragedy, and suddenly you're going to go, I'm not so bad after all. Just because I got sneakers and droopy drawers doesn't mean I know everything. No, no. You see, when you're just kind of cruising through life, you don't think you need your parents. You don't think you need anybody. But when trials come, whoa, Lord, I need wisdom. I need your help. I need your guidance. So we ask for wisdom. But guess what? We have to ask by faith. We have to ask by faith. Look what it says here in verse number 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, you got to come and say, Lord, I'm in a tough spot. And Lord, I'm yielding to you and I'm trusting you by faith. John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, listen to what he said. Very, very good quote. Trials are medicines which our gracious and wise physician prescribes because we need them. And he proportions the frequency and weight of them to what the case requires. Let us trust in his skill and thank him for his prescription. Now, there are some folks in this room who are learning to do that. You're saying, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust you through it. I don't know why I have to only have 4 days of work. You know I need 5, but Lord, I'm going to trust you right now through this. You know, when we go to the doctor and maybe the doctor checks your sinuses, any of you ever had a sinus infection? I don't know why they always do this to me. They always tap me on the forehead like this. Does this hurt? Does this hurt? And I want to go, yeah, does this hurt? Does this hurt? And they kind of tap you like that. And then they'll give you, you know, amoxicillin or penicillin or one of the Cillin brothers, you know, and they'll tell you got to have this medicine. And I don't ever debate with the doctor. I don't go, hey, you know, I think what I really need is morphine, you know. I don't say that to him. If he says, here's your prescription, I go to the pharmacy, I get the prescription, and I probably should be more careful, but normally I just take one and do what the directions say. I don't argue with the doctor. But now listen, why do we argue with God? God sometimes prescribes trials. And what we need to do there is let it have its perfect work. We don't argue with God. We don't say, God, I've been going to church for 3 weeks and I tithed once and now this, I'm out of here. That's not what you say to God. You let God work in your life. You let patience have its perfect work. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. You lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, you acknowledge Him and you ask Him to direct your path. So you ask for wisdom, you receive wisdom, and then you begin to mature. Then you begin to grow as a Christian. Verse 4 once again. But let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Some of you have heard the story of Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford back in the 1860s was a very wealthy developer in Chicago. In fact, throughout Chicagoland, he built buildings. One of our friends owns a building that their church just bought. It's called the Spafford Building, downtown Rockford, Illinois. Horatio Spafford was greatly damaged in 1871. His faith was tested by the fires of Chicago. And yet, through that time, they rebuilt. They began to build their business back. And in 1873, Spafford sent his wife and 2 daughters over to England on a cruise ship. They left on the Villa de Harve, cruise ship, and they were going over to London, and they were going to have some time to visit relatives. But on the way, midway across the Atlantic, they hit another ship of all things, and after just a few days, Spafford received a wire from his wife, and there were just 2 words with the wire. These were the words, saved alone, saved alone. Well, his wife was rescued by another ship that had come by, and she had been hanging on to a piece of wood. They took her on to London, and so Spafford got on another ship, and he began to go towards his wife. And as he was traveling across the Atlantic, the captain of the ship came to where Mr. Spafford was and said, "Sir, to the best of our knowledge, it was right in this vicinity where your daughters perished." Spafford had, of course, been overwhelmed with grief, but he went down to his cabin. He opened his Bible. He began to think and meditate on God, and he began to write these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." One of our favorite hymns to this very day was written by a man that let patience have its perfect work in his heart. A man who could say, in a trial probably greater than most of us have experienced, "Lord, I'm going to trust you. It is well with my soul." It is often through the trials that God matures Christians in ways we could never understand. Why do some of you respect your mother, your father perhaps, some other Christian like you do? Perhaps because they've been faithful through the trials and because they've grown in the grace of Almighty God. It is often through that trial that God refines and purifies so that we can see the Lord magnified in their life. And I want to close with this passage, 1 Peter is in your notes. Look at it. It says in 1 Peter 1:6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Sometimes that period is needed in our life. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." You say, our marriage is going through a time. My job, my finances, going through a time. We're going to find out what kind of faith we really have, aren't we? We're going to have a testing and a proving of our faith. Some of you have on your fingers this morning, as I do, maybe a piece of jewelry, maybe a gold ring, like this West Coast Baptist ring I have here. You know, that ring or necklace that you're wearing today did not immediately appear in that beautiful fashion as it is. But it had to first, as a piece of ore, go through a time of fiery refinement and then become the beautiful jewelry that it is today. As on this video, you'll see here, it took a moment of heat and fire in order for that gold to come about. You have to take that ore and you have to heat it beyond measure until finally out from the impurities comes the purity of solid gold. The fire that is placed onto this particular ore finally brings about a beautiful and a shiny product. Oh, listen, today God wants your life to be a beautiful and a shining product for His glory. God wants your life to bring praise and honor to His name. So when God says it's time for some shaking or it's time for some refining, let's remember He's doing something with a purpose in mind. And that God says, "I'm going to shake well, but I'm going to use greatly." God says, "I'm going to bring some fire of refinement, but I'm going to see some brilliant reflection of myself from that person's life." Oh, my friend, this morning, I want to challenge you. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on church. Don't give up on your vows. Let God have His will in your life. I want to challenge you this morning to strive through the difficulty by the grace of God. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank You that in the middle of the summer, with difficulties abounding, that You have grace that is much more abundant.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Thanks so much for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. And I want to encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven and that Jesus Christ is in your life, I want to encourage you to visit us online or to call us toll-free and let us talk with you about that. We would be happy to help you understand more clearly what it means to trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. Or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Not only can you find out more information about salvation, but there's a lot of resources on our website that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, links to recent broadcasts that perhaps you missed, also a way to subscribe to the podcast of Daily in the Word so you can take this program with you on your iPod or on your computer to listen to at your convenience. This and many, many more resources are available at dailyintheword.org. I want to encourage you to be sure to check out the link about new publications resources. You'll see the photo there on the homepage. There's a link to Dr. Chapel's new book. Mrs. Chapel has written a new book entitled The Choice is Yours, and many other resources that we know will encourage you in your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this again at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you. Toll free 1-800-201-7748, or write to us. Send your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.